hair off his forehead, and he continued.
I was thinking we could be in the same group, if you wanted to.
His eyes filled with hope, and I had a feeling that he'd been waiting to ask all night. That sounds great. I smiled to show that I meant it, and wasn't just agreeing to be polite. Kate headed over to us, and her eyes flashed with what looked like hurt when she looked at Chris. I blew on my hot chocolate again and took a step away from him. If Kate had feelings for him, I didn't want to give her the wrong idea. Because yes, Chris was nice, but I'd never thought of him as more than a friend.
Do you all want to be in the same group?
She looked back and forth between Chris and me, toying with the ends of her hair. Yes, I said, of course. Then someone else joined us. Blake. He stepped between Chris and me to grab his own hot chocolate, his gaze meeting mine with so much intensity that I could barely breathe. I took another sip of my drink, glad when it didn't burn my tongue, and waited for him to say something.
Does your group have room for two more?
He asked. It's just the three of us, I said, my voice shaking. Hopefully he would think it was because of the cold, and not because of his effect on me. So yeah, we need two more. The other person he was referring to must be Danielle. She stood at the edge of the deck, with her arms crossed over her chest, a scowl plastered across her dark red lips. She reminded me of an angry lioness about to pounce on its prey. I broke my gaze away from hers, not wanting to look at her for a second longer. I couldn't help but think that she hated me, even though we'd never actually spoken to each other. Given what Kate had told me about her, I should be scared. But I wasn't. Because according to Darius, I had powers too. I was one of them. Danielle might mess around with humans, but she wouldn't hurt one of her own. At least, I hope not. Darius walked to the middle of the yard and cleared his throat. The chattering stopped.
It's time to begin, he said,
his voice carrying in every direction.
Please put down your drinks, find an empty place in the yard, and have your group gather in a circle. Take off your gloves if you're wearing them so they won't interfere with the energy passed between you and your group members.
Chris placed his half-empty cup down on the table.
Come on,
he said, bounding off the deck and onto the yard. Blake joined up with Danielle, and I followed them towards the spot that Chris had claimed. Kate trailed behind. Once we were all there, I looked up, gasping at what I saw. The comet was already streaking through the sky, and it was more beautiful than I ever could have imagined. It shined yellow, with a hint of blue surrounding the edges, a trail of white growing wider behind it. It crawled at a steady pace. Unlike meteors, which flashed by in a second, the comet would stay visible for about an hour. The comet was so beautiful that it was hard to believe it was real, and not a special effect like in the movies. The five of us joined hands, Blake on one side of me and Chris on the other. I'd expected to be more affected by Blake's touch than Chris's, but that wasn't the case. Both carried warmth and a sense of security that I'd never felt before. Darius didn't have to explain what to do next. I knew to close my eyes and focus on the energy surrounding us. It pulsated from every direction. And unlike the other day in homeroom, when I'd focused on gathering the energy and letting it in through my palms, it already existed inside me, in orbs of white that joined into a single whole. The light flowed out of my palms and through the rest of the circle. A rush of colors burst through me, green, blue, red, and yellow, twisting around each other like streamers in the wind. The comet flashed through my mind, followed by a burst of power that exploded into a bright white light. Electricity shot through every inch of my body. Then the streams of colors unwound, each glowing with a brightness that it hadn't had at first. Each one fled out of my palms and returned to from wherever it came. I pulled my hands out of Chris's and Blake's, my fists clenched so tightly that my nails dug into my skin. I relaxed my muscles and flexed my hands, opening my eyes and studying the others to see if they'd felt the same thing. Their shocked looks said it all. Gone was the anger from Danielle's face, softened into what I could only describe as vulnerability. Chris stared up at the sky, his mouth open as he gazed at the comet. Kate seemed dazed, like she'd just woken up from a nap, and she looked around at all of us, her eyes wide. Blake seemed to have regained his composure, if he'd lost it at all, and he watched me closely, like he thought I could explain whatever had happened. But I was as confused as they all looked. After all, I'd only known about this witchcraft stuff for a few days. I was the least qualified to provide any sort of explanation. Especially because on top of everything, their eyes all seemed brighter, as if enhanced. Danielle's were bluer, Kate's greener, Chris's more yellow, and Blake's a more intense shade of that burnt reddish brown. My eyes had always been a pale, boring gray. But had they changed too?
What on earth was that?
Chris finally broke the silence.
You all felt it too?
Kate's voice sounded weak, and she played with her hands, looking around the circle. Danielle nodded.
If you're talking about that whole feeling like you were in a bathtub and someone dropped a hairdryer in it thing, then yeah, I felt it.
She flung her hair over her shoulder and crossed her arms over her chest. Although she still didn't look as though she'd seemed before the comet. What was supposed to have happened? I asked.
None of us know.
Kate gazed up at the sky, a distant look in her eyes.
We've never done a meditation under the Olympian comet before. Obviously.
I couldn't help but chuckle. This comet comes around once every 3,000 years. It's pretty safe to assume that you've never done this before. Unless witches are immortal, and no one's told me yet.
We're not immortal,
Blake laughed.
But I don't think any other group felt what we did. If they did, they're not acting like it.
I looked around the yard to see what he meant. The closest group to us consisted of freshmen. They were all frowning, their brows furrowed in disappointment. They must not have felt the energy jolt. Other students talked and laughed with each other. Some looked up at the comet as it made its way through the sky, their mouths open in awe. But not one person had a similar look of shock and confusion that I'd seen on the faces of the others in my group. Suddenly, thunder cracked through the air, followed by a bright flash of lightning. Dark clouds covered the stars that had shined brightly only minutes before. They were so thick that the comet dimmed to a barely visible orb of light. The temperature felt like it had dropped at least 10 degrees. Before I could process what was happening, sleet pounded down from the sky, the pinpricks of cold coming down so fast that they created a layer of ice on my skin and clothes. I looked up in confusion, shielding my eyes from the sleet. I checked the weather before leaving. This hadn't been in the forecast.
Everyone, get inside,
Darius screamed, a boom of thunder drowning out his words. My boots squished in the mud as I hurried across the yard, and I tried not to slip on the layer of ice forming on the ground. Finally, I made it inside the house. I removed my boots, adding them to the pile of dirty shoes next to the door, and placed my hands on my cheeks to warm them up. Everyone packed into the living room as quickly as possible. Students had already squeezed onto the couches and armchairs surrounding the coffee table, so I plopped down on the rug with Chris and Kate. Blake and Danielle stood to the side, near the staircase. They were so involved in conversation that their heads nearly touched. Blake had his back to me, but I could see the irritation on Danielle's face. I wondered what they were fighting about, and if fighting was something they did often. Once everyone was inside, Darius shut the porch doors and looked around the room.
I would have liked to stay outside and watch the comet for the entire hour, but obviously that isn't going to be possible,
he said, clasping his hands in front of him.
So, we're going to move on and discuss what occurred during the meditation. Did any of you notice a change in energy underneath the power of the comet?
About half of the room nodded, and a senior guy with shaggy, light brown hair, whose name I remembered was Patrick, spoke up.
It felt like there was a lot more energy,
he said with a shrug.
I can't explain it, but there was a difference. Like it was easier to access.
Good.
Darius nodded and looked around again.
Anyone else?
I finally felt some of the energy, a freshman girl said from one of the couches. It wasn't much, but it was definitely more than normal.
That's wonderful.
Darius smiled at her, and she sat up a bit straighter.
Hopefully, you'll be able to take what you learned tonight and apply it to future lessons,
he said.
Would anyone else like to volunteer what they experienced?
I looked over at Kate. I'd assumed she would relish the opportunity to share our experience with the class, but she studied the rug, combing through the tassels. Danielle and Blake both leaned against the wall, not appearing like they were going to say anything either. Chris finally spoke up.
We got an electric jolt,
he said, bringing his fingers together and pushing them apart to imitate a jolt of energy.
Everything was normal. Then all these colors connected us together, and then boom, electric shock. It was pretty cool.
Darius furrowed his eyebrows.
What did the rest of you feel?
He asked, looking at Kate and me, and then back to Blake and Danielle.
Was it like Chris said? A jolt of energy?
Yeah, Danielle said. He pretty much covered it.
Darius looked back at me, and I nodded, as did Kate and Blake.
Interesting,
he mused, bringing his fingers to his chin and gazing out the window. Was that normal? I finally asked.
The Olympian Comet hasn't come around for 3,000 years,
he said.
There's no knowing what's normal.
I pulled my legs to my chest and wrapped my arms around them. Wasn't Darius supposed to understand this stuff? The elders were in charge, and if Darius, who was an elder himself, didn't know what to expect, then we might never understand what had happened tonight in our circle. I thought that coming here tonight would give me answers. Instead, I was left with more questions than ever. Chapter 9. We talked for about an hour longer. Then Darius ended the discussion and dismissed the class. Danielle didn't waste any time before marching over to Kate, Chris, and me, fire blazing in her eyes.
Way to bring up what happened in front of everyone, she said to Chris, crossing her arms over her chest.
Chris stepped toward her, sticking his chin out.
What's the big deal?
He asked.
Darius asked us to talk about what we'd experienced. So I did. Aren't you curious about what happened too?
Of course I'm curious.
She rolled her eyes.
But we don't even know if we did anything or not.
The last thing we want is everyone asking us questions. Blake walked over to us before anyone could respond.
Hey, guys.
He looked around at all of us, his eyes stopping on mine.
Are you coming to the party tomorrow night?
What party? I asked, surprised by the sudden change of subject. He looked at Danielle and furrowed his eyebrows.
You didn't invite them yet?
She hadn't gotten to it. I doubted that Danielle had planned on inviting me anywhere, but a party was exactly the sort of break I needed from this witch stuff. It would be nice to do something normal for a change. But I'd love to go.
I'm in too.
Chris pushed his sleeves up to his elbow and flashed a boyish grin at Kate.
What about you, Kate?
Maybe.
She shifted her feet and held her elbow with her hand.
I'll think about it.
Great.
Danielle didn't hide the sarcasm from her tone. The party starts around 8 at my house.
Sounds good.
I stood straight and smiled, determined not to back down. Thanks for the invite.
We'll see you all tomorrow night.
Blake turned to Danielle, who was standing as still as a statue, and rested his hand against her back.
You ready to go?
Yeah,
she said, her eyes cold as ice.
We'll see you all tomorrow.
She turned on her heel, threw her hair over her shoulder, and stomped after Blake as he walked out the front door.
That girl has some serious issues, Kate said after they'd left.
Understatement of the year, I laughed. She laughed along with me, but then her eyes turned serious.
You don't actually plan on going tomorrow night, do you?
Why wouldn't I go? I asked.
Even though I could think of a few reasons,
The main one being that it was at Danielle's house, and she clearly didn't want us there. But after whatever had happened between the five of us under the comet, I felt less afraid of Danielle than ever. Blake invited us. The party will probably be fun, and it'll be easier for me to get to know people there than at school.
I don't know.
She pressed her lips together and held her elbow with her hand.
Come on, Kate, Chris said. Give the party a chance. You've lived here your whole life, and barely anyone knows you. It's about time you broke out of your shell.
No one would force you to stay, I added. If you get there and hate it, you can always leave. But isn't it better to go and see what happens than to stay home by yourself?
Fine, she gave in, shaking her head in defeat. I'll go for a bit, but only because you guys insist.
Chapter 10. Kate grudgingly allowed me to help her get ready for Danielle's party. Once we were finished, she looked amazing. The forest green top that was too tight on me fit her perfectly. The shimmery gold shadow I'd applied on her lids brought out the already enhanced green in her eyes, and her hair glowed after I'd taken my straightening iron to it and finished it off with some shine spray. Once finished with her makeover, I gave my outfit a once-over in the mirror. The tight white dress accentuated the pale blondness of my hair, which I'd styled in casual, beachy waves. I just hoped we wouldn't be outside for too long, or else my legs and arms would freeze. Also, like the four others in the comet-watching group, my eye color had been enhanced, too. They were sharper and more silver. It was striking, and I liked it, although I couldn't help feeling startled every time I caught sight of them in the mirror. Kate had never been to Danielle's, so she took her time driving down the street, scanning the addresses on the mailboxes. It didn't take long to find it, mainly because of the cars packed in the driveway and along the street. Our mouths dropped open when we saw Danielle's house. It looked like it belonged on the Athenian Acropolis instead of in a small town in Massachusetts. Two-story columns surrounded the double-door entrance, and the triangular roof with engravings on the front made it look like the Parthenon infused with the White House. The door was unlocked, and Kate and I let ourselves in, stopping in our tracks as we looked around. The huge foyer made me feel like I'd been transported into a Grecian temple. A staircase with a light blue rug running up it curved around the side, and a giant crystal chandelier hung from the ceiling. The top 40 radio station played from speakers all over the house, loud enough to enjoy, but not so loud that it made it impossible to have conversations. There were clusters of people everywhere, some that I recognized from school, hanging out and chatting. A handful of people said hi to Kate, but for the most part, no one noticed us. We wandered into the living room, hoping to find at least someone else from homeroom. A big group sat in the couches around a coffee table, and I smiled when I spotted Chris with them. He waved Kate and me over and scooted to the end of the couch. I perched on the armrest, and Kate took the space next to him.
For a minute, I thought you guys weren't going to make it, Chris said,
brushing his hair out of his eyes.
You know Stephanie and Patrick from homeroom?
He pointed to two others that I recognized. I smiled and said hi, and then Chris turned to the couple on the sofa across from us.
And this is Anne and Matt. They're in Spanish with us.
I nodded, since what he really meant was, they're not witches. Kate had explained to me earlier that while Danielle wasn't fond of humans, she invited them to her parties, at least the popular humans, so the party wouldn't look empty. I answered the normal, new girl questions, where I grew up, why I moved, what classes I was in, etc. Once finished with all that, I listened to their conversations, joining in whenever there was something to add. It felt so normal, and it was nice to get away from all the witch talk. But I still hadn't seen Blake. Figuring that he must be around somewhere, I wanted to walk around to try finding him. Casually, of course. I didn't want it to be obvious that I was looking forward to seeing him. I hated that despite knowing he had a girlfriend, I hadn't been able to get him out of my mind. I didn't want to have these feelings for someone who was clearly off limits, but Blake had invited me to the party, so saying hi and letting him know that I was here wasn't wrong. It was simply being polite. At least the excuse made me feel not as terrible about these feelings for him that I couldn't control. I'm going to get a drink,
I said, when the conversation lulled. Do you all want anything? Chris and the others already had drinks, and Kate shook her head no. I headed for the kitchen, weaving in and out of clumps of people talking. Danielle's kitchen was huge. It would have been bright and airy if it weren't packed with people. Everyone seemed to be helping themselves to drinks, so I walked over to the fridge and browsed my options. The only sodas left were those old-styled glass bottles with the aluminum tops that are impossible to open, so I grabbed one in the hope that there would be an opener nearby.
I was wondering if you would show.
The smooth voice behind me was unmistakably Blake's. Just hearing him speak made my heart race, and I turned to face him, trying to keep my face relaxed so he wasn't aware of how flustered I became in his presence. He held his gaze with mine, his eyes full of so much intensity that I almost forgot to breathe. Before I realized what he was doing, he grabbed my drink, popped it open using the side of the counter, and handed it back to me. Thanks. My hand shook when I took it back from him, and I took a sip to calm my nerves. Of course I showed. The last few days have been crazy, so it's nice to be able to do something normal for a change. He leaned against the counter, resting his elbows on top of it. Some people started cheering about something at the other side of the kitchen, but he kept his focus solely on me.
It's been crazier than usual with the comet yesterday,
he said, his arm only inches away from mine. My pulse quickened, and I had to remind myself to breathe.
Plus, it's not every day that someone new transfers into our homeroom, especially someone with no training, who has no idea about our history. I think some people are jealous about how quickly you're picking up on everything.
Without Kate, I would be completely lost, I told him. She's helping me study, so I can get on track with the honors classes. I'm picking up on everything much faster than I thought I would. Kate claims it's because the yellow energy is helping me focus.
What we can do is definitely useful, he said.
Yeah. I shivered, thinking about the story Kate had told me, about how Danielle had used her powers to injure that girl. I didn't know if Blake did things like that as well, but I wanted to make it clear that I planned on using my powers for good. And who knows, I added. Maybe I'll be able to use my new abilities to improve my tennis game.
Of course you're a tennis player,
he smiled, and I wondered why he seemed so amused.
How long have you been playing?
About 10 years. I said it casually, even though I knew it was a long time. I was on the team back home. I've been out for a few weeks because of a knee injury, but my knee got better when I moved here, and I'm more than ready to start again. I figured I would try out for the Kinsley team this spring.
You'll get in,
he said confidently.
Danielle's only been playing for 5 years, and she's number one on varsity. Of course, like everyone in our homeroom, she has certain advantages, but I'm guessing you would get on the team even without those.
Maybe. I smiled at the thought of playing again. However, while getting on the team should be doable given my experience, snagging the number one spot from Danielle might be tough. Blake had basically confirmed that she used her powers to help her game, and despite my natural tennis ability, I wasn't at her level when it came to using our powers. Yet. Blake glanced at something behind me, and a shadow passed over his eyes. I turned around and saw Danielle heading towards us. She looked like Aphrodite risen from the ocean in her sparkly sapphire dress that clung to her every curve. Her eyes matched her dress, looking even brighter than they had on the night of the comet. In her heels, she towered over me, and I couldn't help shrinking under her gaze.
What are you two talking about?
Her icy tone sent chills up my spine. She scooted closer to Blake and rested her hand on his arm, her face hardening in an unspoken message that he was hers, and she didn't want me anywhere near him.
Nicole was telling me that she played tennis at her old school, he said. She wants to try out for the team here.
Really?
She raised an eyebrow.
Did Blake also mention that I'm on first spot varsity?
Yeah, I nodded, not bringing up that I'd been first spot varsity on my old team before getting injured too. I had a feeling she wouldn't take the news well.
I was about to tell her about the indoor winter team at the tennis club,
Blake continued, turning to me.
Most of the girls on the school team join it to prepare for tennis season in the spring.
Danielle huffed, and despite her obvious annoyance that Blake was giving me so much information, I bounced at the prospect of playing tennis again. "When does that start?" I asked.
"Tuesday," Danielle said coldly.
"You could come and ask the coach about trying out, but don't expect much. She's strict, and tryouts were in December."
"She's already assigned spots."
"It can't hurt to try," I said. "Even if there's not a place for me on the team right now, I could put a weekly game together at the tennis club just for fun."
"Perhaps."
Danielle studied her nails. I had a feeling that if I were looking for volunteers to play with, she wouldn't be raising her hand anytime soon. Blake stood perfectly still next to her, his eyes hard. I wanted to continue talking with him, but since Danielle wasn't budging from her perch, I excused myself and headed back to the living room. Kate and Chris were still there, now surrounded by a larger group of people. I sat back on the arm of the couch and rejoined the conversation, talking and laughing with them as if we'd known each other for longer than a few days. For the first time since moving to Kinsley, I felt somewhat normal, like I was finally finding my place here. And I couldn't shake the feeling that it wasn't going to last. Chapter 11. The moment I stepped inside the tennis club and heard the familiar popping of balls against rackets, I felt at home. I twirled my racket in my hand, and not wanting to waste any time, I walked over to the information desk. A tall blonde man was folding shirts on the counter. While older, he was in good shape, and I assumed he taught some classes at the club. "Is the coach for the girls' team here yet?" I asked, wishing I found out the coach's name ahead of time.
"Martha!"
He called toward an open door in the back.
"You've got someone here for you."
A stout lady with shoulder-length gray hair walked through the door.
"Yes?"
she asked, pursing her lips like she ate a sour candy. My hands shook, and I tightened my grip around my racket. I'd assumed that Danielle was trying to scare me away when she warned me that the coach was tough, but now I was starting to think that she meant it. "Hi." I plastered a smile on my face and tried to appear confident, even though my insides were squirming. "I'm Nicole Cassidy. I just moved here and heard that you're in charge of the junior team. I'm a sophomore at Kinsley High, and since I hadn't moved to town yet during regular tryouts, I was wondering if there was any way for me to try out now." She held her pen to her chin and eyed up my racket. It was high quality, a birthday present from my dad.
"How long have you been playing?"
she finally asked. 10 years, I told her, standing straighter. "I played varsity for my school in Georgia, this year and last year." She placed her pen down and studied me.
"You played varsity as a freshman?"
"Yes." My cheeks heated. Hopefully she didn't think I was making it up. I'd always excelled in tennis, but I didn't like to brag about it. If she watched me play, she would see for herself.
"You can try out for the team today," she decided, picking up the clipboard and hugging it to her side. "I can't promise you a spot, since our team is very competitive. But I'll see how you do, and we'll go from there."
Despite trying to remain calm, a grin spread across my face. "Thank you," I exclaimed, resisting the urge to give her a big hug. She didn't seem like the touchy-feely type. She wrote something on her clipboard.
"Be on the court at 4 p.m. sharp," she instructed.
"Will do." She nodded, and feeling like she was done with the conversation, I walked to the balcony overlooking the courts. On the closest one, a group of younger kids aimed balls towards cones on the opposite end. I smiled while watching them, since that had been my favorite drill when I was that age. I'd picked it up immediately. Accuracy had always been my strength. All you had to do was look where you wanted the ball to go, aim, and hit. Easy.
"So, you decided to show up after all," Danielle said from behind me.
"Yeah." I turned and held her gaze, balancing my racket in front of me. With her hair slicked back into a ponytail, her eyes looked more cat-like than normal. "I talked with the coach, and she's letting me try out." Danielle's expression hardened.
"How nice of her," she said, her tone sugary sweet. "Good luck."
She turned on her heel and strutted towards a group of girls who had just arrived,
swishing her skirt for extra emphasis. A few minutes later, everyone gathered on the court. Coach Peterson informed the team that I would be trying out and that she would be observing me as if it were a normal practice. Before anyone could comment, she told us to run 5 laps to warm up. Following everyone else's lead, I dropped my racket and started to run. It felt great to run again, hearing the slaps of my sneakers hitting the pavement, feeling the air whiz through my hair as it flew behind me, and the adrenaline rush of my heart pumping faster as I gained speed. My previously injured knee didn't so much as twinge. It felt amazing, like I was flying. I was first to finish, lapping a few of the other girls on the way. Danielle finished second. She picked her racket back up and did some stretches, refusing to look at me. After everyone completed their laps, Coach Peterson divided us into groups of 4 to warm up. I breathed a sigh of relief when she didn't put me in the same group as Danielle. The girls in my group were decent players, but discovering their weaknesses was easy. It wouldn't be difficult to strategize how to beat them in a game. Since we were just warming up, I didn't hit as hard as I would have normally, but they didn't come close to challenging me. My guess was that they had low spots on JV. After 20 minutes, Coach Peterson blew her whistle. "Time's up," she shouted, her voice carrying through all 6 courts. "Take a water break, and then we'll play some games." I dropped my racket in the hall and ran to the water fountain, but Coach Peterson called my name before I could get in line. I jogged over to her, my heart pounding with each step. I had to relax. I'd just shown some solid hitting. She had no reason not to want me on the team.
"Very impressive warm-up," she said with a hint of a smile. "I'd like to see how you do with the girls who play varsity singles. From there, I'll figure out where to place you on the team."
"Great," I grinned at how she said where she would place me on the team, not if. I had a spot. I would definitely be able to play. "Thank you so much."
"You'll be a strong addition."
She looked down at her watch, her face hardening again.
"Go get some water, and I'll let the other girls know about the changes."
I nodded and hurried back over to the fountain. One of the girls I'd warmed up with gave me a high five, and most of the other girls introduced themselves, welcoming me to the team.
"Congratulations,"
Danielle said to me as she approached, as icy as ever. "Coach told me that you're going to be playing with me and some of the other girls on varsity. This should be interesting, to say the least." "Thanks," I smiled, too happy to deal with her negativity. Luckily, it was my turn at the water fountain, so I lowered my head to take a sip, pushing the button next to the faucet. The water spurted out at full speed, splashing everywhere and getting all over my face and hair. I shrieked and backed away, wiping the water off my cheeks and blinking it out of my eyes. Danielle snickered, and I glared at her, squeezing the water from my hair onto the floor. She looked so smug, as if she had done it. But that was impossible, because like Darius had said on my first day, our powers were mental, not physical. Danielle couldn't be responsible for what had just happened. It must have been a glitch in the piping system. The water came out at a normal speed when I tried again, and after a few sips, I grabbed my racket and headed back to where everyone was gathered around the coach. Danielle laughed again, but I held my head higher, not looking back at her. Getting a spot on the team was a good moment. I wouldn't let her ruin it.
"You're going to be on court 1,
Coach told me.
"Grab your racket and get started. I'll decide where to place you after observing you play."
The other 3 girls were already there when I arrived. Danielle had teamed up with a senior from homeroom named Kara. They smirked at each other when they saw me, as if confident they were going to beat me. I took a deep breath and ran my fingers over the strings of my racket. I had to stay focused on my game. Danielle might have an advantage with her powers, but I had 5 years of playing on her. I should be able to handle this. The tall blonde girl on the other side of the court, who I figured would be my partner, smiled and waved me over. "I'm Jessica," she introduced herself. "Hi," I smiled back at her. "I'm Nicole." "I know," she said. "We have homeroom together." Right after she said it, I recognized her. She was the quiet girl in back who'd answered one of Darius's questions on my first day. I suspected it wasn't a coincidence that the 3 highest-ranked girls on the team were all in my homeroom, You can serve first, Danielle said to me, tossing a few balls in my direction. Sure. I caught them and walked to the baseline. What did Danielle have up her sleeve by letting me start? The serving team always had the advantage. I highly doubted that she'd offered out of the kindness of her heart, but all I could do was relax and play my best. So I tossed the ball in the air, throwing my whole body into the serve as I aimed and swung. The ball popped against the rim of my racket and fell into the net. Fault. Danielle squared her shoulders and smirked. Good try, though. I didn't reply to her fake compliment, instead bouncing the next ball on the ground in preparation to serve again. That had just been a warm-up. This time, I would hit a serve so strong that Danielle wouldn't have time to blink as it shot past her. I tossed the ball up again, but my racket connected with it too late. It arced through the air and landed behind the baseline. Double fault. Danielle flicked her hair over her shoulder and smiled triumphantly. Love, 15. I glared at her for calling the score. That was supposed to be the responsibility of the server, meaning me. I twirled my racket in an attempt to quench my nerves. There had to be something I could do to relax. Then I remembered the colors that Darius had written on the board. Kate had made me memorize each one during our first study session. Maybe one of them could help? I decided on blue, the most calming of the colors. If I could harness blue energy, maybe I could loosen up and play at my potential. It might not work, but it couldn't hurt to try. I shifted from one foot to the other and closed my eyes, hoping it looked like I was just trying to center myself. But really, I pictured blue in my mind. I pulled it toward me until the color surrounded me, and I imagined it entering through my palms, filling my body and soothing my nerves. With my hand gripped around my racket, I could tell that something about it felt fuzzy and off. Perhaps because I hadn't used it in so long. So I sent some of the blue energy into my racket as well. Then I tossed the ball up again and hit it. It arced through the air and landed exactly where I'd aimed. The shot was decent, but the lack of force behind it allowed Kara to smash it to the middle of the court where neither Jessica nor I could reach it. It was far from perfect, but at least it was better. The game continued in the same way, with me either missing my target or hitting an accurate but slow serve that was easy for Danielle or Kara to return with force. Coach Peterson watched from the sidelines, frowning. I couldn't blame her. I was disappointed with my playing too. Since imagining blue energy had helped slightly, I reminded myself about what all of the colors represented. Red didn't only increase attraction and desire, it increased confidence as well. So I called the red energy into my body, feeling refreshed a second later. Then I thought about yellow and how it increases focus. A surge of yellow entered my palms, sharpening my attentiveness on the game. Lastly, I thought about blue again, trying to calm down and not let the frustration at my poor playing mess me up even more. The three colors flowed through my body, and I tightened my grip on my racket, sending the colors through it as well. Energy hummed through me, crackling with power. I bounced the ball a few times on the court, and my senses felt sharper, faster. I was ready. Suddenly, I was playing better than ever. I was in control of every shot, each one full of strength and precision. It didn't take long for Jessica and me to take the lead. Eventually, Coach blew her whistle to signify the end of practice. She was waiting for me at the exit of the courts, and I walked over to her, my heart pounding with anticipation. I'm going to chalk the first game up to nerves, she said before I had a chance to speak. I haven't decided on your starting position yet, but I'll watch you on Thursday and see how it goes. If you play the same way you did for the majority of the day, it's safe to say that you can expect a top spot. Thank you, I said, able to breathe for the first time since walking over. I can't wait to be a part of the team. Don't thank me, she finally smiled. You earned it. For the most part, I agreed with her. But I'd really messed up during that first game, and I couldn't stop thinking about what Kate had told me about Danielle. That she used her abilities to negatively affect others, specifically on girls who talked to Blake.
Had Danielle used her powers to mess me up? And if she had, was there anything I could do to protect myself from her?
Chapter 12.
You should watch where you put your racket during tennis practice,
Blake said to me the next day in ceramics. We were working on our coil pots from yesterday, and we had a table to ourselves. I wondered if Blake was putting out some sort of energy that encouraged everyone to sit as far away from him as possible. Well, everyone but me, of course. What do you mean? I asked.
Just that some people, specifically certain ones in our homeroom, might take advantage of the fact that you left your racket alone on the court.
I jerked back, my eyes widening at what he'd implied. You mean that Danielle messed with my racket?
I'm not saying any names, he said. I'm just telling you to be more careful.
I wanted to know more, but it was a touchy subject, given that she was his girlfriend. Thanks, I said instead. Next time, I won't let my racket out of my sight.
You do that,
he said.
But don't you want to learn how to get back at her?
I held his gaze, wondering if he meant it. He should be on Danielle's side, not mine. Was this some sort of trick? I didn't think so, but even if it wasn't, the last thing I needed was to start a fight with Danielle. I might be getting the hang of harnessing energy, but Danielle was more powerful than me. I needed to be careful. I don't want to get back at her, I said carefully. But if there's a way to defend myself against whatever she's doing, I would like to learn how to do that. He leaned forward so his face was only inches away from mine, and goosebumps traveled over my arms.
There is,
he said, lowering his voice.
All you have to do is use white energy. It's the strongest color out there, but it's the hardest to harness. If you can do it, and if you direct it properly, it can take spells off of objects. The tricky part is knowing what objects have been tampered with. And it's difficult to remove the energy if someone more powerful than you put it there. But you've got natural talent. Even Darius is impressed.
I ripped off a piece of clay from the chunk on the table and rolled another coil. White energy, I repeated. What about concentrating on a few colors at once? I did that with three of them and it helped.
Since combining all of the colors makes white energy, I guess three might do something,
he said.
And if it worked, that means you've got as much power as Danielle. Maybe even more.
So you admit it was Danielle? I smiled in triumph. His jaw tensed, and he looked down at the table, refusing to meet my eyes. I won't tell anyone, I said. I promise. He studied me, like he was trying to figure out if I was trustworthy or not.
Good,
he finally said.
Because if Danielle found out that I was trying to help you, she might take it out on you. And while I doubt she would do anything too terrible, after all, you're one of us, I don't want you getting hurt.
My cheeks heated, and I feared they were turning bright pink. Why would Blake go behind his girlfriend's back to help me? I wanted to think that he was just as attracted to me as I was to him, but I didn't want to get my hopes up, because he and Danielle were still together, so Blake and I couldn't be anything more than friends. I looked down at the table and focused on rolling another coil. My emotions were probably splattered so much on my face that they would betray me completely. So, have you thought any more about the night of the comet? I asked to fill the silence.
Constantly, he said, his hands moving faster as he worked. I don't know why or how, but my abilities have changed since that night.
What do you mean? I asked.
I can't show you here.
He glanced around the room, as if afraid of someone listening.
At least not without freaking everyone out and getting in trouble with the elders.
Okay, I said. But can you at least tell me?
No,
he said.
This is something that needs to be seen. Come with me after class, and I'll show you.
His eyes darkened,
and my breath caught with the realization that whatever he was planning on showing me was serious, and that for whatever reason, he was choosing to come to me with it. He trusted me. And even though I knew I shouldn't, I trusted him too.
Chapter 13. The rest of the ceramics class dragged on forever.
Are you ready for what I'm about to show you?
Blake asked after the bell finally rang. After all this buildup, it better be good, I joked, although I was only halfway kidding. We gathered our stuff and headed out of the classroom.
Come on,
he said, walking the opposite way down the hall, toward the back of the building. It led to a dead end, but I followed anyway, trusting that he knew where he was going. He stopped at the door to the back stairwell, opening it and tilting his head for me to go first. My arm brushed his as I walked through, a rush of heat flowing from his skin and into mine. My breath caught in my chest, and I pulled away, moving aside to give him space to enter. The stairwell was dim and unfinished, and he inched the door shut, closing out the rest of the world. The chattering of the last kids walking down the hall quieted, and it was just the two of us, alone. My heart was pounding so hard that he could probably hear it, and even though I'd wanted to be alone with Blake since the moment I first saw him, I needed to control whatever I was feeling for him. Nothing could happen between us. At least, not right now, while he had a girlfriend.
So, what did you want to show me? I asked, pulling my sleeves over my hands and wrapping my arms around myself.
This.
He removed something from his pocket and held it in front of him. It was a clay pendant of a miniature sun, about the size of his palm. The dark gray color of the clay made it obvious that it hadn't gone in the kiln yet. It's beautiful. I let my fingers hover over it, afraid to touch it. You made it?
Yes.
He nodded.
I did.
But why take it now, before firing it in the kiln? I asked. If you didn't fire it, it'll eventually crumble.
I'm going to show you something,
he said softly, his gaze so focused on mine that I had to lean against the wall to steady myself.
Promise me you won't freak out.
I promise. I somehow kept my voice from shaking. Given everything that I've learned recently, it would take a lot to freak me out now.
Fair point.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out a black lighter.
You ready?
Yes. I swallowed and held his gaze. I'm ready. He flicked on the lighter and it sparked to life, casting a glow across his face that made him look like he was from another world. Then he lowered the flame to the pendant, which was still sitting in his hand. What are you doing? I gasped and reached forward to stop him. You'll burn yourself.
No.
He pulled away from me, and as the flames touched his skin, he didn't even flinch.
Watch.
The fire grew taller and brighter, and then he turned the lighter off. The flames should have gone out. Instead, they turned blue, growing hotter and burning stronger than ever, fully surrounding the pendant. He was holding fire, and his hand wasn't burning. He was controlling the flames, which, according to what I'd learned this week about how our abilities worked, wasn't supposed to be possible. But I couldn't deny what I was seeing in front of my eyes. Finally, the fire died out, and he held the pendant up for me to see. The clay sun had hardened completely. If I didn't know better, I would have thought that it had been in the kiln for hours.
How did you do that?
I brushed my fingers over the pendant, but it was scorching hot, and I yanked my hand away.
I don't know.
He stared at the tiny sun, looking as transfixed as I felt.
Yesterday, I was lighting the fireplace in my house, and it felt like I could make the flames move like I wanted. I wasn't sure if I was imagining it or not, so I went to my room to experiment.
His jaw hardened, and he raised his gaze to meet mine.
I wasn't imagining it. I could control the fire.
But that's impossible, I said. We can't affect the physical world like that, right?
The only explanation I could come up with is that something happened when we felt that jolt under the comet, and whatever it was changed us, he said. It gave me this ability.
Maybe, I said. Or maybe this was something you would have been able to do even without the comet.
I've never heard of anything like this, he said. Then I remembered a bit about Hephaestus, the Greek god of fire, and I looked him up. Not even he could control fire with his mind.
He glanced at the pendant again, and then refocused on me.
I thought that since this all started when you moved here, you might know what's going on.
Last week, I didn't know that witches existed, I reminded him. All of this is new to me. I'm the least qualified person for you to ask.
But you were with us under the comet, and I know you're picking up on how to use your abilities abnormally fast, he said. That's why I had to talk to you today. Have you been able to do anything like I just did with the fire? Anything that affects the physical world?
Disappointment surged through my chest as I realized why he'd brought me here. Until now, despite the complications, I'd hoped he was interested in me and wanted to spend time with me. That he thought I was someone he could trust. That he was drawn to me as much as I was to him. But he didn't feel that way at all. He was just trying to get information from me. I shouldn't have expected anything more, and as I was standing here, crushed, he was waiting for me to explain his newfound ability. I had to set him straight. I was no one special, and I certainly didn't have the answers he thought I did. I haven't been able to do anything like that. I focused on the pendant, purposefully avoiding looking at him. Even if something were different with my abilities, I wouldn't know, since I didn't even know I had abilities until a week ago.
What about Kate or Chris?
He asked.
Have they mentioned anything unusual?
No, I shook my head. But something strange did happen at tennis yesterday. I paused, hoping I wasn't about to say something totally off base. But he nodded for me to continue, so I did. I was getting a drink of water, and the fountain went all crazy on me, like it was possessed. Danielle was standing right behind me. She was upset that I might get her spot on the team. His eyebrows knit together.
Do you think she got jealous and doused you with water? That she controlled it? Like I controlled the fire?
I don't know. I ran my hands through my hair, since it sounded silly when he put it that way. Maybe. Or maybe the water fountain was faulty, and the timing was a coincidence. We both looked at each other, saying nothing. I could tell that neither of us believed it.
Thanks for telling me,
he finally said.
I'll ask Danielle about it later.
I nodded and glanced around the empty stairwell. We should head to class, I said, shifting my feet. We're late. I didn't actually want to leave. I would have skipped class entirely to spend time with Blake. But being alone with him was just going to get my hopes up. I had to be stronger than that. I had to fight whatever I was feeling for him, because he didn't return those feelings, and it would be easier for me once I accepted that. I reached for the door, determined with my resolve, but he held his hand out to stop me.
Hold on,
he said, and I was helpless to do anything but still at his touch.
I didn't make this for myself. I made it for you.
He lifted the sun pendant, motioning for me to take it. I grazed my fingers along its surface, studying the details he'd engraved. A small face sat in the center, and two layers of rays extended in all directions. It was beautiful. Wow, I said softly, taking it from him. It was still warm from the fire, and it pulsed at my touch. Thank you.
I made it for you because you remind me of the sun.
I took a sharp breath inward. If he were anyone else, I would have thought this meant something, that I meant something to him. But he had a girlfriend, and I didn't want to be a side girl or a fleeting fascination. I wanted the real thing. So I stepped back and slipped the pendant into my bag. We should go, I said. Disappointment flashed over his eyes, but he opened the door, motioning for me to go first. Everyone stared at us when we entered class late. Luckily, Darius believed us when we said we had extra cleanup duty at the end of ceramics. We took our normal seats and settled in. But it was impossible for me to focus. My thoughts kept wandering to Blake and the small clay pendant in my bag. I reminded him of the sun. For some reason, the comparison just felt right. Chapter 14. In homeroom on Friday morning, every desk had a glass of water on top of it. I sat next to Kate, eyeing my glass curiously. I suspected that I wasn't supposed to drink it. Something strange happened with my lab experiment for bio, she said the moment I sat down. You know how out of the tree plants were growing, the one with no direct sunlight is supposed to grow the slowest, and the one with the most sunlight should grow the fastest? Yeah, I said, wondering where she was going with this. It didn't take a genius to figure out how the results for the lab would turn out. I got to school early to check on my plants. Her eyes went distant, like she was seeing what had happened again in her mind. They were larger than anyone else's. But get this. The one with no light grew just as much as the one with light. She wrung her hands together, chewing on her lower lip. That's not how the lab is supposed to turn out. It doesn't make sense. I searched my mind for an explanation, but couldn't think of anything. Maybe someone moved your plants around, I finally said. No, she shook her head. We labeled them ahead of time. They weren't mixed up. The bell rang before I could come up with another possible answer, and Darius walked to the front of the room. He clasped his hands behind him and looked around. Today, we'll be working on directing energy into a drink, such as water, to affect someone's mood when they ingest it, he told us. I want you to focus on an approved color of your choosing. If you're an upperclassman, you should have this down by now. So this should be practice. I'd like to see the sophomores getting the hang of it, and freshmen, don't feel badly if you find it difficult. He scanned his eyes over the freshmen in the front row. If you still haven't succeeded in gathering energy, please work on that instead. Skills build on each other, and you'll need that one to be successful with this. He sat down at his desk, which I took as a cue to begin. I decided to use the color orange. A main quality orange represented was strength, and with everything going on in my life, it couldn't hurt to have more of that. Ready to start, I looked around to see what everyone else was doing. Some students had closed their eyes, and others stared at their glasses with such intensity that it looked like they were trying to make them combust with a single thought. I closed my eyes and immediately sensed the orange energy around me. The tingling started in my palms, rushing inwards like waves of light traveling through my body. The orbs of energy grew larger, swirling together until they felt like they were going to burst through my skin. Unable to contain the energy for any longer, I opened my eyes and touched the glass, shooting orange beams of imaginary light out of my palms. A loud crack echoed through the room as the glass exploded, shards and water flying in every direction. I stared at the place where the glass had been, my eyes wide, my palms flat on the table. Shards of glass were everywhere, and there was a puddle of water in the center of my desk, inching closer to the edge. Had I really been responsible for that? Everyone stared at me, and heat rushed to my face. But this time, it wasn't because of the energy. I just wanted my classmates to stop gaping at me like I was some sort of freak witch. I knocked the glass over, I lied. It was an accident. I'm fine. Kate appeared in front of me with a roll of paper towels, and she did her best to gather the glass and mop up the water. I tore off some towels to help. Nicole! Kate's voice wavered, and she pointed at my wrist. You're bleeding. I looked at where she was pointing and froze. A piece of glass had embedded itself inside of my forearm, blood seeping out from the sides. The shard was about the size of my baby toe, big enough to cause damage, but small enough that you had to be close to notice it. It stung, but it didn't hurt. Not as badly as I would have expected. It was like I was looking at someone else's injury, not my own. Maybe I was in shock. Not wanting to bring more attention to myself than I already had, I lowered my arm under the desk so no one could see. Homeroom was almost over. After the bell rang, I could walk quietly to the nurse's office and get cleaned up. There was no need to cause more of a commotion. Then the pain hit, like a swarm of bees gathering around the cut and stinging at the same time. Not knowing what else to do, I closed my eyes and yanked the glass out of my arm, biting my lower lip to stop myself from screaming. Once it was out, I dropped it on the floor and held my hand over the wound to slow the bleeding. It burned so badly, like someone had set my arm on fire. My head spun, and I pressed harder on the cut, trying to hold the skin together. What good was being a witch if I couldn't fix this? Maybe I could fix it. I didn't know the limits of what I could do, and so, remembering what Blake had told me about white energy and how it could fix things, I gathered as many colors as I could, pictured them combining to form white, and directed them towards the cut. I let the light flow out of my palm and into my arm, imagining my skin stitching and melding back together. Soon, the throbbing calmed, and I lifted my hand, forcing myself to look. My skin was now perfectly smooth. I had no time to think about what I'd done. Instead, I grabbed a wet paper towel and rubbed it over my arm, cleaning off the blood. There wasn't too much, but it was enough that people would ask questions when they couldn't find an obvious wound. After cleaning up, I put the bloody towel in my bag, which was gross, but I needed to hide the evidence. I was about to slide on my hoodie when Kate grabbed my arm.
"Let me see that."
She rotated it to search for the cut. When she saw that it wasn't there, she stared at me, her eyes wide in question. "See what?" I tilted my head, trying to play it off like everything was fine. Others had gathered around to help clean up, and I didn't want them to know what had happened. They didn't need another reason to think I was a freak. Hopefully, Kate understood that I would tell her later and wouldn't say anything now. She dropped my arm and frowned.
"Nothing," she mumbled, gathering the wet towels and taking them to the trash.
Once she was gone, Chris scooted his chair closer to mine.
"How did you do that?"
he asked, nearly bouncing out of his seat.
"Do what?"
My brain felt like it was in a haze. I looked at the clock to see how long it had been. Only a minute had passed. How could all of that have happened in such a short amount of time?
"Your glass looked like it spontaneously combusted."
He laughed and pushed some hair off his forehead. I relaxed, realizing he was talking about the glass exploding and not the cut on my arm. "It didn't spontaneously combust," I said, trying to laugh it off. "I knocked it over, and it broke."
"You must have knocked it over pretty hard."
He looked at the place where the shards had been and shook his head. I shrugged, since that wasn't what had happened, and Chris seemed to know it, too. Darius stepped to the front of the room and cleared his throat.
"I'm going to let you all leave early today," he said,
and everyone cheered. Then he turned to me, his eyes sharp.
"Nicole, please meet with me here after school. I'd like to go over some of the material you need to catch up on."
I nodded, since I didn't have much of a choice. I also didn't know how much Darius had seen. All I knew was that what had just happened to me definitely wasn't normal, and that he was the only one who might have answers.
Chapter 15. The rest of the day passed in a haze. It was like there was cotton in my brain, and I was watching everything happen around me instead of being there myself. I was more than ready for the weekend, so when the final bell rang, all I wanted was to go home. But I couldn't skip the meeting with Darius. The door to the library classroom was open when I arrived. Darius sat at his desk, reading something from a piece of paper. He looked up when he heard me enter.
"Nicole,"
he said, removing his glasses and placing them down.
"Thank you for meeting with me. I had hoped to talk with you one-on-one before now, but things have been rather hectic since you arrived."
I felt bad that I hadn't come to him sooner. It just seemed weird to talk to a teacher when I had friends like Kate, Chris, and Blake to help me along. Of course, Darius wasn't a normal teacher, but maybe I'd avoided talking with him because it would mean admitting that all of this was real. But at this point, did I really have a choice? Sorry, I apologized, shoving my hands into the back pockets of my jeans. Things have been really crazy with moving and all.
It must be difficult to adjust to so many changes,
he said, gesturing to the chair next to his desk.
Please sit. I'd like to show you something.
I made my way across the room and sat in the chair, crossing my legs and waiting for him to continue. But instead of saying anything, he pushed the paper he was reading towards me. I leaned forward to get a better look. It wasn't actually paper. It was more like parchment, ancient and yellowed, and it only had a paragraph of writing on it in thick black ink. I ran my finger along the bottom of it, surprised by how rough it felt under my skin, and skimmed the perfect calligraphy. In the beginning of the new year, the Olympian comet will cross the sky and the wall will grow thin. Five representing each part of the world will work together to restore the balance, the power of the ether igniting them. The journey will lead them east on the path to the shadows, which will serve as their guide. It made no sense, and rereading it didn't help. Only the comet had any relevance. The rest might as well have been written in ancient Greek. I looked back up at Darius and shrugged. I don't understand what this means. He picked it up, locked it into a drawer, and pulled out a piece of paper that looked like it was from this century. It had the same thing written on it.
A girl named Abigail Good wrote this a little more than 300 years ago, he said. She was a witch who lived in Kinsley, and this is believed to be a prophecy. The elder in charge of the Kinsley area, which would be myself, keeps watch over the original. This is a copy.
He placed the newer-looking version in front of me.
I want you to hold on to it for now.
What? I did a double take and sat back. Why me? He studied me and folded his hands over his desk.
You've exemplified extreme natural ability with your power, he said simply. In just over a week, you've mastered what takes most students months to learn. And what you did in class today.
His eyes lingered on the spot on my arm where the cut had been, and I covered it with my other hand.
Like I told you on your first day, our powers are mental, not physical. But you made that glass explode, which shouldn't be possible, but you did it.
I opened my mouth to protest, to give him the same excuse I'd given to Chris, but he held a hand up to stop me.
I saw what happened, and it won't do either of us any good for you to deny it,
he said kindly.
I hope you know that I want to help you. I've talked with a few of the head elders, and while they have their theories, I believe you're the key to deciphering this prophecy.
Hold on. My eyes widened at the possibility. You think I can figure that out? He nodded, his expression serious.
Yes. I think you can figure it out, he said, because I believe you're the one spoken of in the prophecy.
I pointed to the paper. There's no person mentioned here.
I'll let you figure that out for yourself, he said, but I have to leave and take care of some business at home. Good luck, Nicole.
He gathered his briefcase and left the room, leaving me alone with the paper.
Thanks. I muttered, shaking my head and picking up the supposed prophecy.
Only a week and a half into a new school, and not only was I a freaky super witch who made a glass explode in class, but I also had extra homework. Chapter 16. Rereading the prophecy didn't help me understand it, and I left the room after about 5 minutes of failed attempts. The library was nearly empty except for a few scattered students. I headed for the doors, but the sight of one person in particular made me stop in place. Blake sat at a nearby table, absorbed in his history textbook. He leaned back in the chair, one knee propped against the edge of the table to balance the book on his leg. In the week and a half that I'd known him, I'd never seen him look so focused. Maybe he'd put yellow energy into his water that morning and had chugged it to help him study. Which might have made sense, except that we shared the same history class, and we didn't have any tests or papers due in the near future. So he had no reason to be here. Unless he was waiting to talk to me. Feeling braver than usual, perhaps because of the orange energy I'd gathered this morning, I slid into the seat next to him. He didn't strike me as a stay-after-school-on-a-Friday-to-do-homework type of guy, I said, leaning back and making myself comfortable. He smirked and placed his textbook down on the table.
How do you know I'm not trying to get ahead on the paper that's due?
He looked up at the ceiling, scrunching his eyebrows as though in deep thought.
In a month.
Because no one starts papers that far in advance. I shook my head and laughed. Unless they're super uptight about school, and you don't seem like you are. I looked around the library to make sure no one was close enough to hear us, and lowered my voice. Plus, why spend so much time studying when we can put an energy boost into our drinks and get our work done in double time?
Or quadruple time, if we're talking about you,
he said, holding my gaze.
Speaking of energy boosts and drinks, what happened in homeroom this morning?
He certainly knew how to get to the point. And with Blake, I was quickly learning what that point always was, to get information about my abilities. He loved power. And apparently, I was bursting with it. I have no idea. I shook my head, my thoughts returning to the prophecy. Maybe I should show it to Blake and get his opinion. After all, he'd shown me his secret with the fire, which meant he owed it to me to keep my secret about this. I took out the paper and placed it on the table. Darius gave me this, I told him, scanning over the short paragraph again. He says it's a prophecy. A girl in Kinsley wrote it more than 300 years ago, and Darius thinks I can figure out what it means. So far, I haven't had any luck. Blake read it over, scrunching his eyebrows as he soaked it in.
What's an ether?
He asked, rubbing the back of his neck as he read it again. I don't know, I shrugged. The whole thing makes no sense.
So let's look it up.
He pulled out his phone, and I rolled my eyes, feeling like an idiot for not thinking of doing online research myself. I guess I'd thought the answers would come to me, like magic. He opened the web browser and typed ether into the search engine. The first link that showed up led to the Global Encyclopedia. He clicked it, and the entry was huge.
It says here that ether is the fifth element, also called spirit, and it's thought to be heavenly and not of the material world, he read out loud.
He picked up the paper and held it next to his phone, as if trying to connect the information.
The prophecy says five representing each part of the world. That sounds like it could be related.
I took the phone and scrolled through the entry. A circular diagram listed all of the elements, each in a different color. Air, fire, earth, and water, I said, with ether in the middle. I stared at it for a few more seconds, the pieces coming together. There are five elements, and five of us were in the group under the comet. You can control fire. Danielle might be water. Kate mentioned something about her plants and biology growing more than they should have. Maybe she's earth. Then there's Chris and me. I haven't noticed anything about the air, but maybe Chris and I are either air or ether.
The prophecy could mean that something happened on the night of the comet to set this all into motion,
Blake continued, scrolling down and reading more.
Which would make sense, since I didn't get my power over fire until after the comet.
I picked up the paper and reread the prophecy. So some sort of wall grew thin when the comet passed through the sky. Our powers were ignited, and we need to restore the balance. But that still makes no sense. What does it mean that a wall is growing thin? And what sort of balance?
I don't know.
He sat back in his chair and scanned the page again, his brow wrinkled in thought. The five of us need to meet, I decided. Because if we're right, it looks like we're going to have to work together in order to restore the balance, whatever that means. We have to tell them about this as soon as possible so we can start brainstorming.
Let's call them and meet at my house tonight, he said. It's time we figured out some answers.
Chapter 17. Kate and I walked up to Blake's house in silence. She'd been quieter than usual since I'd updated her during the car ride about the prophecy and what Blake and I had discussed. She didn't even mention the cut on my arm that she saw this morning before I healed it. Maybe she was waiting for me to bring it up first.